Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. We asked our friend Lucas to join our podcast because we did an episode with them, had a very good time with them, and we're going to be doing some rebranding of the podcast. We're changing the name and everything. We're leaning towards 3 C's, but we haven't been sold on anything. But today we're going to be doing a segment on why die for a lie. Lucas, if you want to get into it.
As we know, every disciple was persecuted, made fun of in some way for Christ. And the point, that me and Marcus is making is like, if Christ wasn't who he said he was, if he didn't actually rise from the dead, why would Paul go through all that of being persecuted, imprisoned, beaten, and some of the other disciples actually died, spreading the word of God. I believe it was Stephen that was stoned, and they drug him out of the city thinking he was dead, and God rose him up, and he's like, "All right, next town," So it's like, why go through all that, if it wasn't true?
Exactly. Like, why face all? Can you hear me? All right. Why face all those things that they face? Like, all the punishments, the banishments, everything, all the adversity that they faced, and still hold up that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And the crazy thing is, from the start to the beginning, all 12 disciples' story never changed, nothing. No matter what they faced, they stayed true and said, this is what happened. And you could have separated them in 12 different rooms and asked them the same question. They all would have said the same answer. And it's just crazy to me that people would actually think that somebody would die for like something like, because they're basically saying that God is Santa Claus. Like, who out here is gonna like sit here and face punishment for believing in Santa Claus? Nobody. They're gonna be like, oh, he's not real. He don't really go down chimneys. We were just kidding. Like,
And if you look at the different gospels, like there's so like each one has a little bit more details, and some of them might not go into it as much, but the same premise is Jesus Christ rose from the dead, on the third day. And so, like they like one might have a little bit of more information on what they did at this moment, and then the other one may have left that out, but the meat of it stays the same.
Exactly. It always stays the same that Jesus was crucified, put in the grave, and then 3 days later rose from the dead and was back to life.
Definitely.
But the only thing that I really could find, like, to back up everything by the Bible, there was a verse, 2 Corinthians 11:25, and it's Paul saying, 3 times I was beaten with a rod, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I was adrift at sea. And that's just some of the things that he was speaking on about what he faced while following Jesus and spreading the word of the gospel and everything. And there's not a lot in the Bible that where they actually go like, oh yeah, this is what happened to this apostle. This, like, there's a lot of stuff on the internet, but that's all opinionated based, I believe. I mean, unless there is some kind of different like writing that's out there that shows, okay, yeah, that they this is what happened to these, and this is who witnessed it and wrote about it.
And the only one that I can remember right now off the top of my head is when they all got persecuted kind of at the same time is when they received the gift of tongues, but that was kind of everybody was mocking them, but they kept doing what they were doing. This other one was chapter 12 of the Acts, verse 2, talking about, and all it says is, "And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." And that was King Herod that done that.
And if you go to Acts 12, verse 1, it tells you like King Herod imprisoned James and John, and that he beheaded James, basically, with the sword.
Yep.
Is what it's saying. And those are the only two things in the Bible after, like, I was reading the Bible, I was looking up scripture, I was going to the internet, and it's literally all says, like, we believe this is what happened. On the internet, it'll say, we believe so-and-so was hung upside down, crucified, stabbed in his ribs, and bled to death by the blood rushing to his head or whatever.
Yeah.
And or died because of the blood rushing to his head and stuff like that. But it's not backed up with facts from the Bible, and I didn't want to get into those things because it's not something that I could go, oh, yeah, the word says this.
Right,
this is
what
the Bible says. And then,
you don't want to lead people astray. Yeah.
Exactly. And then it's just our opinion based off an opinion that we read on the internet, and I wasn't trying to do all that.
Yeah, no, I think where they get that is because they still kept record, you know, of around, you know, the time that that everything in the Bible was going on, like with the New Testament and their persecutions. You know, so I know different kingdoms kept record of, you know, what all happened and everything. Like whenever Jesus was crucified, I forget which king it was, but he wrote about Jesus in his own like documents, like that wasn't in the Bible, you know, talking about, you know, the uprising of Jesus and everything. I forget his name. I think it was Caesar. Yeah. Cause Caesar was king. Yeah. During that time frame, because Jesus held the quarter or whatever it was, the money, and say, you know, you pay taxes, give Caesar what is his and give God, you know, what he deserves.
Basically pay your taxes. If you owe somebody, pay them and like live basically debt free. Make sure that you pay all the debts that people are owed.
And like, and if I remember correctly, that was the, the people of the, I guess you could call it the old church, you know, of the, they were living off of the Old Testament, and they were trying to, I guess, trap Jesus in his own words or something like that. You know, the old priests and everything, because they didn't go along with Jesus and what he was teaching, you know. Yeah. So they thought it was blasphemy and all.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, that shows you there that Jesus was proclaiming to be God, because, you know, they picked up stones to try to kill him. And Jesus, you know, went through the crowd supernaturally. Like, it doesn't really say, it just says he passed through the crowd, you know, because whenever they, all the people kind of led him to the cliff, and they were going to throw stones at him and push him off the cliff, and he swept through the crowd. So
exactly. And it's just like, we know there was like a lot of like stoning and stuff like that, because of back then that's was their punishment of choice, was crucifixion, stoning, whipping.
Yeah.
So we know at some point the apostles and the disciples faced those things, but it's just, I don't want to get into it because it's not in the word saying this is exactly what happened to this person. This is what happened to this person. But you know what's really crazy to me? Which isn't there only one disciple or apostle that went through all of that and stayed alive? Wasn't it John or John? Was it John the Baptist that?
No, John alive?
John
the Baptist. That was. It wasn't, well, I'm pretty sure John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah. And no, he died.
It was John the Apostle. John the Apostle, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
John the Apostle was the only one that went through all of the punishments, the beatings, and everything, and didn't die. And I'm not really sure why. I'd have to read into it a little bit more. Because that thought just popped in my head. I didn't even think about studying on that and figuring out why God let him stay alive through all of that.
Yeah.
Like, why was he chosen to stay alive? Like, what other things did he do in the future after all these other ones passed away that God was still using them, basically?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people can relate to Paul, because, you know, before he accepted Christ, he was persecuting Christians and all, mm-hmm. because he thought wholeheartedly that he was doing the work of God. He yeah. thought in his mind, all right, all these people are going astray from God, and that's evil. Even mm-hmm. though he was brutal, but that's how they were back then. Like in the Old Testament, like if you didn't do your sacrifices or you didn't give God, you know, glory or whatever, it, that like a lot of that was punishable by death, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul, and, you know, we can see it now through scripture. That's why, you know, which I mean, only God knows, but I feel like that was a lot of the reason why God wanted to use Paul, because he knew that he would go in it wholeheartedly with all his might, you know.
He knew his yeah. true intentions. He knew his intentions were pure. Mm-hmm. He might have been yeah. doing it the wrong way and doing yeah. things like completely out of order, but mm-hmm. God knew that he was doing, he had true intentions. He actually believed like these people were sinning and doing yeah. blasphemous things and stuff yeah. like that. So that's why he, that's why he justified the killing of Christians and things like yeah. that. And then that's why God, yep. like Jesus set them down and everything was basically like, hey, like this is yeah. actually how you're supposed to do it.
Right. Yeah. So like, and he thought they were worshiping another God basically, you mm-hmm. know, and spreading of, you know, a false God. But, you know, once Jesus reveals himself to you, you know, it radically changes you. You go from mm-hmm. believing one thing to, Paul was fully committed, you know, I will mm-hmm. do anything for Christ. You know, it's just, it's amazing how, you know, the blood of Christ can change somebody and, you know, the remission yeah. of sins and everything and give you a second chance, you know.
Exactly. And I mean, it's documented that Paul went from like several different cities, traveled many miles spreading the word of God, actually mm-hmm. after he actually figured out like, okay, I was doing the wrong thing, like that I yeah. was completely wrong, I repented for my sins, I'm so sorry. And then
right.
once he started doing things the right way, he traveled all over spreading mm-hmm. the word of Jesus, and he faced, like, he went to prison, jail, whatever you want to call it, he's been, he went there a couple times, he never stopped spreading the word.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's amazing. And, you know, he wrote most of the New Testament, you know, mm-hmm. of course, inspired by God. But, like, you know, when he was writing Revelations, he was on an island, you know, by himself. And, mm-hmm. Like, Revelations, is, I don't know if the audience listening has ever read it, but you definitely need to get into it. It's, you know, it prepares you for things that are going on nowadays in the world, and, you know, the warning signs and the birth pains and, you know, wars and rumors of wars. And it's just, it's amazing.
Revelations is basically a map on what's to come and how to yeah. prepare for what's coming.
Right.
And that's not, now that we're talking about stuff like that, like, it's crazy to think like somebody, it started with Moses, 'cause he wrote mm-hmm. most of the Old Testament, Moses did, or he wrote all of it. I'm not really sure, not 100% on that. But it started with Moses, and to think, like, it started with Moses, and then Paul did most of the New Testament. But still, to think that that was like over 2,000 years ago, and yeah. they're predicting that book was written 2,000 years ago, and things in that book that mm-hmm. they predicted back then that was going to happen now is happening.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy to think that. It's crazy yep. to think somebody 2,000 years ago said, oh, and had the imagination to be like not the imagination because it was God, but like people mm-hmm. say the Bible's fake, but like how is somebody 2,000 years ago going to have the imagination to write the things that they wrote down?
Yeah.
And basically it come true. Like that's.
Yeah. And that just shows ridiculous. You again that if, you know, man tried to do that, like, he wouldn't be anywhere close to it, because exactly. God revealed things to them in visions and, you know, dreams and everything. Like, I don't know. Paul must have been just baffled with the things that God showed him, because, you know, I believe you know, that, well, yeah, like Paul says, I was in the spirit, you know. So God was showing him all these things, and he's living in, you know, just after Christ had went back to heaven, you know, so, you know, almost 2,000 years ago.
I don't mean to laugh, but you said Paul, and something popped in my head. Could you imagine being Moses walking by a burning bush and it start talking to you?
Oh man, like, yeah, that'd be wild.
Yeah. Like that just popped in my head, like an image, like you're like, all these things that God like showed Paul, but like Moses, mm-hmm. who couldn't speak properly, had a speech impediment and all this, walking through the desert, a burning bush, and it starts talking to him. Like he's like, hey, I need some water. I'm a little dehydrated. Like there's no way.
Yeah. And you know, it's amazing because, you know, whenever God talks to you or speaks through you, or I don't know, it's like it pierces you. It's like, hey, you know, pay attention. Like it grabs your attention, and you know, it's like, okay, like I need to focus or listen to this, or just be still and listen to God, what he's telling me. And, you know, and like, I feel like a lot of Christians today, they're like, well, I don't know, you know, I don't know how God talks to me and things like that. It's like, well, God's got it taken care of. All you have to do is be a willing vessel. If God really wants to show you something and grab your attention, trust me, he definitely will, you know.
Oh, it's, exactly.
I can't explain it, you know, but it's like you'll know when it happens, you know what I mean?
The best thing I could say is get in the Word of the Bible, and the more you read it, the closer you get to God, and then you start opening up. And once you open up, that's when God's like, hey, this is what I've been trying to tell you all along. And then you start looking at things differently. Like you're like, yeah. And then you're looking like you'll look at something that happened like maybe 3 or 4 months ago that you didn't think nothing about. And then you look back and go, oh, that was God trying to tell me something.
Definitely. Like,
like I've been ignoring him like that. That's on me. Yep. My bad.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, when you're praying about something, or like I recently had just got a new job, thank God, and been like, felt like I was just in the valley, you know, you know, the people that I used to work with, you know, only one of them, well, I don't know. I don't know everybody's, you know, I don't know.
And stuff.
Yeah. But it seemed like only one person would really, you know, talk about Jesus with me and, you know, what all he's done in their life. And, you know, the other guys, it's just like, you're getting, you know, kind of like the disciples, like you're getting punched in the face, and spiritually, I mean, nobody punched me in the face. I mean, spiritually, you're getting worn down. You know what I mean? And so like every morning going to that job, I'd pray like, God, please help me to be, you know, a good example. Please help me not to lose my temper. You know, please help me not to, when I get mad, not to cuss or anything, because that's going to hurt my witness, you know? And then if I do one day lose my temper or do whatever, they're going to look at me and say, oh, well, you know, he cussed just
hypocrite.
Like I did. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
He's a hypocrite.
Forget all the year and, you know, 4 months I've been there. You know, if you slip up around those kinds of people, like they're not going to think.
For them.
Exactly. They're not going
to
think about it.
Be like, yeah, they're going to be like, oh, he says he's a man of God, but look at him. Look how he's acting.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's what kind of people follow God. And it's like, you know, that's when grace and mercy comes in, and understanding that we are still human. We're not perfect.
Yeah.
We're made like in the image of Jesus and God, but we're not made exactly like them. We sin, we mess up every day. And, but people that don't fully believe and get in the book and like actually live that life, that they're not going to have that mercy and grace that we would have if like somebody would slip up and we're like, okay, well, like it's all good. Like you're forgiven.
Yeah.
Like just try better, like do better. Like, we'll help you figure out how to do better, but just actively try to be better. But people like your old coworkers, they're not going to really be like that.
Yeah, and so I was just really getting worn down in my spirit, because it really helps to be around people of like faith to help build you up and everything. And so I had been praying about it. He said, "Lord, I don't know what to do. If it's your will, please open up another door." You always want to pray for his will, because I don't know how long he wants me there to try and minister to them. And I've had good conversations, with, pretty much everybody there, where God opened up the door for me to, minister to him or talk about Jesus, whatever it may be. And so I didn't want to mess up God's, timing or plan of how long I needed to be there. And with this new job, it's actually my distant cousin and one of his friends. They're both recovering addicts. They're not anymore, praise God, but Jesus
Praise
saved
God.
them. Yeah. And they're all the time, man, just like wanting to tell everybody what the Lord done for them. And it's like, it's so refreshing. It's like, yeah, it's like, let me listen to you. Like, let me hear it, let me help you any way I can,
Exactly.
even though I haven't had those same struggles, Christ still saved me just like he done them, so it's so nice to just to be able to, during your work day to talk about the Lord and, listen to praise and worship and, everybody's excited and, just, it's a totally different atmosphere. And I thank God for it, 'cause I feel like God's, gonna build me back up and, get closer walk with him and everything. 'Cause, now I can listen to my Bible app. I can, listen to praise and worship as I'm working, and it just makes the day go, so much better. And but
That's
that's
awesome.
why, and I think that's why, like, people say you don't have to go to church to be, to be saved. And you don't, but you're making it a lot harder on yourself, because you don't have your brother to help, build you back up with scripture, to minister unto you. Just because you're saved don't mean, you don't need nobody to minister to you. Like, heck, I need to
Exactly.
be reminded that, I'm forgiven, of my sins, that, you tell yourself that, but whenever somebody else is telling you and, you're backing it up with scripture and everything, it just, I guess it hits you differently,
Yeah, it hits you a lot differently because you can, like, they're like, oh, well, he got that from the Bible. Like, so what he's saying is actual facts. And if I want to learn more, I can go exactly where he told me to go into the Bible and read and study for my own. And it's not just the fact that you need to be ministered to, like, the church also helps you, like, break chains that were hard to be broken by yourself. Like, you try to do it by yourself, it's a hard walk when you're with people. It's even harder when you're by yourself. Like, trying to overcome addiction, trying to co overcome all those other things, like, you're making it 10 times harder by being by yourself, because what's going to happen is you're going to fall to what you're used to. So you're going to go back to your old friends, you're going to go back to the old ways, and you're going to get even farther from your salvation that you just had. Like, you worked hard, you beat the addiction, you gave your life to the Lord, but here you are back into your addiction, back into your friends, because you're like, oh, well, I don't want to go to church because of hypocrites and stuff like that. Not all churches are like that. Like, there are churches out there that every church is going to have one or two people that make the church look bad. But if you overlook that and get surround yourself with people that are actual great, like-minded, God-seeking people, they're going to grow you so much more, and they're going to show you exactly your potential in the Lord.
Yeah, definitely. And we can't look at, whenever, so say you do something or I do something that we both know isn't right, and but we can't go and be like, "Well, that makes me not want to even try anymore because I saw him fail." It's like, no, you have to put your faith in Christ. Like any person on earth right now is going to fail at some point. I don't care if it's a preacher or, you know, somebody who, you know, just got saved. You know, we all need redemption and we all need, you know, remission of sins, you know, that Christ had paid for us. You know, so if you're on this earth today, you need repentance, even if you're a Christian already, you know. I believe, you know, that you have to constantly make sure, or I shouldn't say make sure, but like purify yourself. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, forgiveness and, you know, and it's like making sure that you're ready at all times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If I mess up, hey, I need to immediately fall on my knees before Christ, say, exactly. I'm sorry, I know I messed up, and it's my fault. Don't try to blame it on nobody else, you know. I know what exactly. I did, and I need your grace to save me because I can't save myself, you know.
Yeah, it goes back to we're all human. We're made to image of Jesus and God. We're made in the image of Jesus and God, but we're not made with their standards. We live in sin. We're gonna sin. We're humans. Those are gonna happen. So we need that repentance, that grace, and that mercy to continue being following God the way that we want to, because we're gonna mess up. Like, you can do the smallest things and that will cause you to have to repent, because we know, okay, you got to love your neighbor. You got to basically love your neighbor. Don't steal, lie, all these things. Well, like, if you look at somebody and just like one judgmental thought hits your mind, you sinned. You sinned.
Yep, exactly.
So, like, it's so small. So for people to like go around and like have all these churches and everybody in the church and the preacher and all that to a higher standard is kind of ridiculous, because they're human. They're going to mess up.
Yeah.
They're going to.
Yeah. And like, I've recently like just started doing this. Whenever like a thought comes in that's not of God, I'll be right there in my mind. You don't have to say it out loud. You just do it in your mind. Say, I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus. I take that thought captive in the name of Jesus. And dude, that works. Like, it's like, I don't know. I mean, for me, it's like it just completely erased it, you know, because it's like you're stopping it right there. You know, it's like, okay, I'm not going to let this go any further. Take that thought captive in the name of Jesus and go about your day, you know.
Exactly. Like, as soon as that thought hits, just that's what I do. I go, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Like, that is the devil. Like, I rebuke you. Like, get out. Yep. God, get that out. And it's just... Amen. It goes, and then you said, you just go about your day. And then every time I have like a thought I'm not supposed to think or anything like that, that's all I say. And I'm just like, dude, that's the devil. Like, and the thing is, like, when you start walking with God and getting closer with God, studying your Bible and like doing everything you're supposed to in the image of God, in the eyes of God, the devil attacks hard. The closer you get to God, the harder the devil attacks, because the devil is like, okay, he's walking with God like that. If I can get him, I can get anybody.
Right.
If I can get him, I can, if I can get him. So you are constantly, it's not a battle of flesh. It is a spiritual battle that you're constantly fighting, because the closer you get to God, the more the devil's going to put those thoughts in your heads, the things that you do in your, like, and he is going to try to make you fall away from God, because his one mission in life is to get everybody away from God.
Yep.
So he is going to do everything in his power to do that. That is the only thing he wants done. So the closer you get, just know the harder the test comes, like the harder the battles and the harder the fights and all that, because it's going to be a mental and spiritual warfare over your body, because God knows, okay, he is one of mine. He is doing everything I'm asking him to do. And then some, and as soon as God thinks that, here comes the devil. Okay, I'm going to throw a curveball and see how he acts.
And you know, it's... Go ahead.
And God is going to allow the devil to throw that curveball because God's testing you too. He's going to say, okay, I'm going to see what kind of man he actually is during this test.
Yeah. And, you know, you grow stronger in faith, you know, and, you know, that's where, and it shouldn't scare you. Like, the enemy, you know, doesn't have any power over you. Like, you have the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, and that is so strong. Like, we forget sometimes how much power we have over things like that dwelling in us. You know, we had revival at my church. It was a few months ago. And I don't know if I had mentioned this to you or not, but pretty sure, you know, I didn't hear them, you know, speak, but it seemed like something was off. Like in my spirit, I could tell this probably wasn't of God, you know, how the Holy Spirit warns you. And yeah. It was so crazy, dude. Like, the Holy Spirit rose up in me, and you know, and everybody started speaking in tongues and praying for that person. Whatever was in her, I'm not casting stones or pointing fingers, and I believe she got cleaned and delivered from it. Whatever that was could not stand. She fell to her face, couldn't stand it, you know, being around the Spirit of God, you know. Couldn't stand being around the Holy Ghost, you know, and so, and it's not us, like us by ourselves. Yeah. We're like, you know, we're like a little grasshopper and, you know, compared to what Christ has done and like the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. But, you know, the only reason that we're able to stand in those times is because of the Holy Ghost and the power that God has given us and what he's done for us. But us by ourselves, we would be in trouble for sure.
Yeah.
If we had do that by ourselves. Yeah.
And that goes to like show you, be careful of what you allow around you, because obviously that lady or that person allowed some bad things around her.
Yep.
For whatever to get inside her, to get inside her. So you got to be careful of who and what you surround yourself with, because that, like, even like watching something or something so small, like you open that doorway for something to enter, and you're in some trouble. You are in some deep, deep trouble.
Yeah. And, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, to stay away from the very appearance of evil, you know. But in that case, you know, we were in church, you know, so that's all our stronghold is in church, you know. And so the Lord, I know the Lord protects us in every way and everything. But it's just so amazing how the Holy Ghost rises up in you. And if you're a willing vessel, you know, we'll use you to rebuke that, you know, sort of things and everything. And you know, hopefully if that person is willing to get delivered from it, whatever it might be, you know, I hope that lady's doing well now. I hope she, you know, has Christ dwelling in her, you know?
Yeah.
Cause once you get something like that out of you, you got to fill it with Christ, you know?
Or it's going to be filled with something.
Yeah.
You don't want to fall back into that situation you were in. So you fill it with Christ, and that way Christ is your armor. He's not going to allow anything to come towards you or get inside you to defeat you personally. Once you fill yourself with the Holy Spirit and God, you're protected spiritually. Yeah. You are protected. That doesn't mean you're not going to be tried.
Exactly.
Because the devil is going to try you, but you are going to have the armor of the Holy Spirit and God. You are going to have, it's not just going to be you anymore. It's going to be you, Holy Spirit, and God fighting the battle.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might feel like you're alone, but you're never alone. Once you start this walk, you are never alone.
Yep. You know, somebody explained it to me. It's like, you know, God is carrying you through something, and sometimes he might put you down and just take one step back, but he's still watching you. He just wants to see what you're going to do, you know, and what you're going to do in that situation. it doesn't mean he's left. It's like, you know, when you take your kid and you've been carrying him for however long, you're like, well, I'm gonna set you down. You can walk by yourself right now. Not by yourself saying God departed from you, but let's see if you can figure this out,
Yeah,
you know,
you can walk beside
through my
me.
word. Yeah, through my word and through what I've taught you, you know. So I feel like there's some similarities there.
There is a lot of similarities because, like you said, like God's like, okay, like I've held you for the last year or so. You know how to walk. I'm gonna be right here beside you. If you fall, I will catch you. But
Definitely.
if you don't fall, you can walk. Walk where you want to walk, but I'm going to be there to make sure you're okay and you're protected, but you're going to walk on your own will.
And you
And
know, God is so good. He's blessed me and my family so much.
amen.
I was so happy,
Amen.
man, to get that job. It was a prayer to answer for sure. I love it. I actually have a job I enjoy doing now, and I don't think really I've ever had that, and it's amazing. God is good.
Yes, and something similar like that happened to me, not with like a job, but like me and my wife, we were trying for a baby and stuff, and we were actively trying, and it wasn't happening for whatever reason. I never truly went to God to it and go, "Hey God, can you please let this happen? Like we've been trying, she's getting to the point where she's like almost done, like can we please let this happen?" And I guess because me and her were both praying separately for the same thing, God was like, okay. And then it happened. So it's just like, it shows you the power of prayer, especially like in your household. If you're unified in prayer, it like the power of it is amazing. Like you can do some amazing things.
You know, about Jesus, you know, says, where two more are gathered together in my name, there I shall be also, you know, and that kind of goes back to,
Back to the church, going to
to the
church.
church. Exactly. You gotta have, you know, other people to help you fight these spiritual battles, you know. It just, I don't know, it just does something with your walk. It does something for your spirit, you know. Like we need
It
to be
makes you,
encouraged.
it basically that right there, it makes you know that like if something's going on, you have people around you. Because once you get into that church setting where like you feel nothing but love and you know it is Jesus, without a doubt, it is Jesus because of the love that's filled in there. Once you get in that setting and you understand, okay, this is my place, this is where I belong. Like then you know, okay, if I'm having a bad day, I can call or text so and so, meet them with co for coffee and just have a little Bible study, a little talk, and just like be ministered to. So you go, okay, like, and then it also like you could be praying for somebody, and Jesus and God work, they work in marvelous ways. Like I could be praying for something, Lucas comes up to me and say something, and it just justifies what I've been praying about. Like Lucas didn't even know that
I
God
have,
used him to justify what I was praying about, but that's how they that is just the craziest thing to think that I could be praying for something and Lucas comes up and like just start a conversation and we talk, and then in that conversation Lucas says something that basically was a message from God to me to say, I hear you and you're good.
And that's what's amazing, because you know, a lot of times you might not want everybody to know what you're praying for. You know, some things are, you know, between you and God. And like you said, that's what is so amazing. Like he can use somebody that has no idea what you're going through, doesn't know your situation, don't know what you're struggling with, and be, you know, whatever they say to you, it's like, wow, you know,
It's
that's
like,
amazing,
okay,
Lord.
I hear you, God.
It's
Yeah, I hear you.
confirmation.
Yeah, exactly. It's just crazy how things like that like works. It's just the more you read, the crazier you're like, wow, like that is like so. I have been having like I went into fire school, so my wife's a traveling nurse. Lucas knows everything, but just to give you guys a backstory, my wife's a traveling nurse. I was going through fire school while she was traveling to Kentucky for her job. We were separated from each other, got tired of it, so I went and went with her. Well, around the time I was going through fire school, I was having these weird dreams where I was up on a podium behind a bullpit giving a service. And I was like, God, like, I don't know what this is, but it's not me. And right. then, like, it kept happening. It kept happening. So I talked to God. I said, God, if that is what I'm supposed to do, because obviously you're putting those images in my head, either you or the devil one are putting them images in my head. I said, if it is you, God, show me somebody who's had a troubled lifestyle, troubled childhood, and like faced things that I faced as a child, and show me that they are doing the great things for you by being a pastor. Well, we come out to Arizona, Lake Havasu, Arizona, never heard of the place. Come out here, we were trying to find a church, looking stuff up. Looked up the church, and it's Abundant Grace. And as soon as I saw the name, something was like, go there. Like,
right.
Don't know why, but it was a strong urge to go there. Go there. The first Sunday service we're there, people are coming up to us like we've been going there for years, hugging us, saying it's so nice to see you guys here. Welcome. And so then we sit down. The pastor and his wife invites us out, and the pastor starts giving me a backstory, and basically he's had a rough childhood too. And I'm like, well, look, okay. And then I go back to that talk with God where I said, show me. And I'm like, okay, God, I see you. Like, it's just crazy to think like a town that we've never heard of 30 hours from where we were living in Florida. Never heard of Lake Havasu City. We go there, get a strong urge to go to that church, and then come to find out that's why. And now I haven't really spoke to him about it, but I'm going to talk to him. But I'm sure like they have like a mentorship thing where you can do like a pastor thing and he can mentor you and stuff. And I'm going to start going into that and actively start doing things because like God is showing me, okay, that's what he wants me to do for whatever reason. Like I thought I'd be the last one to ever do this. Like I don't want to. I don't feel comfortable speaking to people. I can do this podcast because I'm not actively in front of a crowd. I'm just talking to you. So it's a lot easier doing it with this podcast. But it seems like that's the way he wants me to go. And all I've been doing is praying about it and told him if it's his will and if that's really what he wants, then keep improving and keep advancing me. And that's what it seems like is going on right now. So,
And it, you know, if it's his will, it'll work out, you know,
and, nothing's going to stop it. If it's his will,
nothing's going to stop God's will. Now it might not be there. It could be, you know, some other place, but if that's what God wants you to do, then, you know, nothing can stop
it. It's going to happen. Yeah. Like no matter, because I've been fighting this for, it's been 4 or 5 months. I've been fighting this and putting it off and like not accepting it and all these things. And I kept on coming up with excuses like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not this. Like if you show me somebody who's had my past preaching and you show me that you've made them good enough, then maybe we'll sit down and consider it and stuff. Like I've done all these things and God's, like one after the other, like chop the excuses away.
Right.
Like to the point where I'm like, okay, I can't deny it. I can't go against it. Like it's his will. Like,
yeah. The best advice, you know, I could give you is just accept it and, you know, try your best at whatever he lays on your heart and he'll do the rest of it. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's and like always to add to that, always go back to the word of God. As long as you're doing it from his will and true intentions and from the word of God, it's always going to be what he wants. As soon as you start, okay, what can this benefit me? How can this benefit me? That's when you're no longer doing his will. Because once it's his will, it's not to benefit you at all. Like you're going to be so uncomfortable. It's going to be like something you're not, it, like, you're coming out of your body and doing something for him, and it's going to be very, very uncomfortable. It's not going to be something you're going to be okay with or anything like that. Like, if you are not saying if you're comfortable doing it, it's not his will. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, once you start doing things, like, instead of going, okay, how can this benefit God, or how can this benefit his kingdom? Once you go away from that and go, how can this benefit me and my kingdom? That's when you know it's no longer the will. So as long as you stay in the book and have true intentions behind it, and he is showing you, actively showing you, okay, this is what I want you to do, then that's when you know you're doing it right.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, kind of going back, you know, to what we just said, if it's of God, it will not fail. That's what, you know, even the, you know, the old priests, you know, whenever the disciples were spreading the message of Jesus, even that's what they said. If, you know, if it's of man, we ain't got to worry about it. Like, it's not going to spread like wildfire. But, you know, if it's of God, you know, there's nothing we can do, you know.
Yeah, it's out of our control.
Yeah, exactly.
It's above our pay grade. It's way above our pay grade.
Yeah, like, definitely. And, you know, they were still going off of, I don't think they had accepted Christ just yet. Maybe that one did that said that. I hope he did. But, yeah, man, if it's God's will, there's no stopping it. It's gonna work out some way, somehow. And once you see it, like you said, like, when you look back, it's hard to see when you're going through everything, when you're feeling like, God, I don't know what to do. Like, you know, whatever the case may be, it's like, I'm just miserable from day to day. I'm getting worn down. Mm-hmm. Like, once he picks you up, shakes the mud off of you, puts you over here, and you look back, it's like, man, like, I see how you held my hand through all that. Yeah. Or using me or whatever it might be.
Yeah. Like, you were basically like, I wasn't as abandoned as I felt, basically. And then you're like, okay, I see what you're trying to teach me, whether he was trying to teach you something, whether he was like trying to just grow your faith or whatever he was trying to accomplish when you were in that bad part of your life or bad times. Yeah. It's just like, you look back at it and you go, okay, I see where we were going with that. I see now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people looking, you know, that might not be Christians or are considering it, you know, they might be thinking, well, that, like, you should have everything going for you because, you know, you're saying you're of God and that God is with you. It's like, no, that's like, being a Christian is one of the hardest things you can do, you know, but the reward, the devil
is going to make it very hard.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you're living how you want to live, like in the flesh and everything, you know, the enemy's not going to stop that because you're already heading his way. Mm-hmm. As soon as you give your life to Christ, he's like, oh, wait a minute. You know?
Yeah. But he's like, hold on.
Yeah. But our battles are going to be so worth it when we get to glory, you know, and see Jesus and, you know, just seeing Jesus alone and being in his presence would be enough. But, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, the works that we do, and we're saved by grace, not works, but, you know, the people we minister to and the people we help out, showing the love of Christ, we're going to be rewarded for all that on top of not being in hell and burning forever, you know. So Jesus has saved us. We're going to be in heaven. And then also it talks about, you know, being rewarded for, you know, everything you've done on the earth for God. And, you know, that just shows you how gracious God is, because he didn't have to do that. He could just save us. And, you know, that would be enough. That, you know, that's what, you know, my preacher talks about, like, you know, he didn't have to do all these extra things that, you know, he talks about rewarding us for our works and everything. Just saving us from hell is enough, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a scripture, I can't remember where it's at, I was just trying to look it up, and it says, like, saving one man is like a, like, it takes, once you go to heaven, it's a hundredfold of, like, of goodness done, like saving one person can like erase 100 times of the evil that you've done is just by saving one person, basically. I think that's how the scripture goes. I'd have to look it up. I'll look it up and find it for the next podcast or whatnot. But I don't know. I like it's not that hard. Being a Christian is very easy, honestly. It's trying. You're going to be tested, but all you really have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, admit that He died on the cross and He risen from the dead, and He erased all sin from humanity once He was risen. And as soon as you accept that, like you are one of His kids, you are one of His.
Like except I think what I was like trying to make the point, like accepting Christ, is the easiest. Yes, accepting him is, one of the easiest things you can do, and God wanted it that way. I guess the point I was making is like making sure you're walking in the way that he wants you to. That's where it can become challenging and difficult because
Very,
there's
very
temptation
challenging.
everywhere. And yeah, I think I should have said that. That's where,
And
it gets difficult.
my advice for people watching and listening would be the easiest way to tell if it's God or the devil is to get in the book of God. Like go to Proverbs, read Proverbs 2 times, at least twice, and it tells you exactly step by step of what's right, what is wrong in the eyes of God. You live by Proverbs, that then you know without a doubt, like if something comes your way, if it's God or the devil, because Proverbs is going to tell you what's good, what's bad, and what is definitely not supposed to be done. Like that is my only advice is like if you do accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, is to get into the book, and that way you can decipher when something does happen. You can decipher, okay, was that God or was that Jesus or was that just me?
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
or if it was the devil, like, it was that God, the devil, or me? Like, and the more you get into the word, the more you can decipher who it was.
And like, anytime God has ever, told me to do something or, put it on my heart to do something, like there, like with me, there was a clear difference in my thinking. And then I don't know, like whenever the Lord shows you something or wants you to do something, it's like it just hits you like a bolt of lightning. And it might be for a split second, but you get like not all the details. You don't get all the details. You don't know everything. But if the Lord tells you go that way, and pray for that person, it's just like a bam, like you know exactly. And if you act on it, then that's showing the Lord that, you'll listen to him. It might be a little awkward walk, everybody's sitting down at church and you're the only one getting up walking somewhere. But that shows the Lord that you're a willing vessel, that you're
You're
willing to listen.
obeying. You're
Yeah,
obeying the Lord's
exactly.
will. And that you going down that path, like Lucas said, not knowing all the detail is faith. And the person that I can tell you guys to look at for the most faith is Abraham. Because I could not imagine being him and God telling me, okay, the kid that I told you that was gonna do all the great things with the nation and all these different tribes or nations were going to come from him. I want you to take him on top of the mountain and sacrifice him.
Go kill him,
And
basically.
Abraham said, okay, well you tell me, you obviously told me that he was going to be the father of all these nations. You want me to sacrifice him, so you have a plan. And without questioning, without doubting, he took him and was about to sacrifice his kid when God's like, hold on. I was just seeing what kind of, if you would obey and you are obeying, very good. Here's a cow or here's a lamb. I forget what kind of animal it was. I think it was a cow. Here's a cow. Slaughter the cow for my sacrifice instead of your kid. But if
And
you want to, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just saying, I've always thought that I've always believed personally that he was thinking, okay, if I do sacrifice my kid, God's going to raise him up, you know,
Yeah,
somehow, or, you know, exactly.
that's exactly what I was thinking too, is like, okay, God is all power, almighty. He said that he was going to be the father of these nations. So obviously, if I sacrifice my kid and for you, he's going to raise him back up.
Yeah,
And
definitely.
that's what his mindset had to be, because
Yeah.
God told him, this kid is going to be the father of these nations. And all these things, like God told him all these things that this kid was going to be set forth to do. And then right after he told him all that, he said, all right, now go sacrifice him.
Right.
So
Yeah.
Abraham was like, okay, well, you got him. You ain't like you
Yeah.
told me these things, he was going to be these things. And I know without a doubt, you're not tricking, lying, or anything. Like your
Yeah.
word is truth. So, okay, we'll go up there. And like I said, he was about to sacrifice him, but that just shows you like the faith that you have to have in Jesus is abundant. Like,
Yeah.
and once you get that faith, like things just start happening. Like you
Yeah,
start,
and
like you hear God's will, you do it without even questioning.
Yeah, and you know, it must have been a crystal clear sign when God was, or God may have been talking to him, you know, just like me and you, or something in that manner, because we know from scripture, whenever God talks, like there's thunderings, there's lightnings, you know, so maybe God talked to him in a dream, but I'm sure it was crystal clear on what he was supposed to do, so he knew that it wasn't his thinking, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like
And
he had
he
to fully, I'm sure, reveal it to him, you know,
yeah,
what to
and
do and everything.
that goes back to like once you know it's God talking to you, you're not gonna mistake it for anything. Like he
Yeah.
didn't go, okay, well that could have been the devil. Like once you know, like once you hear his voice and once you hear his thinking and like the way he tells you to do things, once you hear and feel that, you're like, okay. There is nothing else that could be.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
Not nothing. And the crazy, like, it's just crazy that, like, I don't know. I to think about it, like, I want to say I have a lot of faith in God, but it'd be very, very hard to wake up from a dream or a conversation, have a conversation with God, and he'd be like, "Kill Olivia, kill Connor in my name,"
Right.
like that. That would be very hard to do.
Yeah. Well,
Like,
we'd have to be living back in, let me find a date for that to happen. Let's see. 14 around 1491 BC, because now Christ has paid for our sins, so
yeah, we
we
don't
don't
have
have to
to
sacrifice
sacrifice
anymore.
animals or anything like that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
So if
but
somebody
still,
ever
like.
tells you that, Marcus, it's not of God.
Yeah. But no, like that's just crazy
I
though.
get what
Like
you're saying.
once you put in the realization of it, like I don't know if I would have been able to even do that. Like you're talking about your kid, like that is a like you said, like that would never be asked. And if for any reason you're getting that thought, you need to
Yeah, that is not
you
of, yeah. Anybody
that
listening, if you get that thought in your head, that is not of God nowadays, you know.
No.
Jesus
You don't
has
have.
paid the price. We don't have to sacrifice anymore.
He
He was the
sacrificed
perfect lamb that
himself.
was slain.
He sacrificed himself for our sins, so we are washed by his blood, and it is a blood oath. Once you accept Jesus, it is a blood oath that you are forgiven of your sins because of you accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if any other thoughts come to your head, it isn't like that. That is not of God. But I was reading that, and I was listening to it on the Bible app and everything, and it was just like, man, like that would have been a tough ask. Could you imagine like God saying, hey, this child is going to do great things for the world? And like after God broke down everything it was he or she was going to do, he look at you and go, okay, now sacrifice them. And it's just like, hold on now, time
It's like,
out.
wait. It's like, wait, you
Ooh.
just told me that.
Yeah, you just told me all these things, and now you want me to get rid of them so he can't do. And then you're like, I don't know. That'd be tough. Like the faith Abraham had to have is amazing. It's just amazing.
And I guess it's, you know, kind of like the disciples, like, you know, he had a radical encounter with God. You know, Jesus, you know, wasn't revealed to him at the time, but he had a close enough walk with God that he knew his voice. You know, he knew exactly what the Lord wanted him to do, you know, so, you know, I believe that he knew that God would somehow raise him up or, you know, something to that effect, I believe.
And it just goes back to, like you said, the disciples, like the walk they had with Jesus was so impactful that they were happy and encouraged and excited that they were facing sufferings for Jesus. Like they were, they weren't taking it with fear. They were excited because spreading the word of the gospel of God and everything, they faced those things and they did it proudly. And it's just, that's the faith that we, that is the faith and the walk that I want to be able to, that's what kind of relationship I want to have with God. And like, no matter what comes my way, I can be excited about it because I know it's because I follow Jesus so well.
Yeah. They were rejoicing because they got beat up and ran out of the city and they was like, you know, so
that's like, how we need to be.
Yeah. That's how we need to be. We don't need to be, you know, getting all sad. And, you know, I know it's hard, but if somebody, if you are trying to witness to somebody about Christ and, you know, they're rude to you or, you know, God forbid, you know, start cussing you, don't get sad about that. Like, we're supposed to stand out. We're supposed to be, you know, kind of the odd ones, I guess you could say, because, you know, we know the truth and the world is going to reject that. So, my advice would just, you know, if the Lord ever puts it on your heart to minister to somebody, do it wholeheartedly, because you don't know how it's supposed to work out. You know, not every time you minister to somebody, not every time they're going to get saved right then and there. God's probably working on them, but using you to remind them, hey, I remember that one guy that told you about Jesus and, you know, so on and so forth. Like, God might be giving them opportunities, and one day they might just break down and accept Christ, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It might start with you. Like, you just, like, you'd be like, hey, do you know Jesus? And then they start cussing you and everything. But that one little sentence of, do you know Jesus? They could, like, later on that night, they can be like, okay, well, who's Jesus? And then start researching him on his own. And next thing you know, they are being saved by just simple words that you asked, like, do you know Jesus? Like, little words can start it's basically like a snowball effect. It starts with a ball like this, but if you roll it down the hill, it gets this big, and it's just because God might have been using you just to open the doorway, just so God could put his foot into the room, basically. Yeah. So if God puts it on your heart to reach out to somebody or anything, and to do it in his will, definitely do it for the greater good. But also remember, as Christians, we're always going to be attacked. As believers of Christ, we're always going to be attacked. We're always going to look, the people are always going to make us try to look bad because they want God to look bad. And that's not the people. That is the devil using those people to try to attack you in Christ. Yeah. It's going to happen. Just know that you're going to face the adversities just like the disciples and the apostles faced and everything like that. But have your faith like Abraham in Christ and know no matter what comes your way, God's got you.
Yeah. And there's one story. I know we're about an hour in, but whenever I was working for LKQ, I was delivering parts, and the Lord put it on my heart so strongly to pray for the guy I deliver parts to. And I was like, are you sure? And so I was walking back to my truck, and I saw the dude get out, crank up his vehicle. He was about to go to lunch, and it was like a sharp, piercing, like, go pray for him, you know, or ask if he needs prayer, something, you know, to that effect. And honestly, man, I don't know if I was going to do it at first until I saw him getting in his truck and cranking it up. And the thought came in my mind of, now, what if he goes and gets killed in a car wreck and you didn't go and pray for him? You know, this could be his final chance and you didn't listen. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. as soon as that thought came in my mind, I was like, oh, no, yeah, I'm definitely going.
I hear you.
And now, it didn't work out how I thought. The dude looked at me like I was crazy, and I didn't get to pray for him. But I asked, I said, hey, man, do you need prayer? Like, I feel like God wants me to pray for you. And he looked at me all crazy, and he's like, no, I think I'm good. And I was like, okay, well, I just, the Lord really put it on my heart, you know, to see and ask if you needed a prayer. And he's like, no, I think I'm okay. But even though he told me no, you know, we don't, you know, God could have been using that to work on his heart, or I don't mm-hmm. know. I just know what God put laid on my heart, and I tried to fulfill it, and it didn't work out how I thought, but only God knows what he was doing, you know.
Like, it could have been simple as, like, he prayed to God and was probably like, it could have been something like, oh God, like, do you even hear me? And then you going up to him saying, hey, the Lord put it on my heart to pray for you. That could have been confirmation of, okay, you hear me.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and it's just crazy that, like, so if God puts it on your heart to do something, please mm-hmm. obey and do those things, because you don't know what that person's fighting. You don't know what that person's asked God. And God could mm-hmm. be using you to deliver a message to give them clarification and justification and understanding that, okay, God hears me, and it's his will.
Yeah, basically. Definitely. Yep. And, you know, we got to be careful. You know, whenever God tells us to do something, we need to try our best to do it, you know, because you don't know, like I was saying, that thought popped in my head. Well, he's getting in his truck. What if he gets in a car wreck? And, you know, that was God, you know, giving him one more chance or something like that. Or, you know, that's what just popped into my mind. And I felt it so strongly to do that. But, we always need to listen to God, and because we never know what he's, you know, brewing, or, you know, putting mm-hmm. things in place to, mm-hmm. you know, help other people. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. And God is going to use his people to bring more people to him. So just know, when he gives you a message, or you, like, you look at somebody like Lucas did, and they're like, okay, go pray for him, or go, mm-hmm. go, like, talk to them, or whatever God's put in your heart to do with that person.
Yeah.
Do it, because you don't know, you might get that person to come
mm-hmm.
and change his whole mindset and believe in Jesus, and then that person saves millions of people, and it was through your works that that happened, mm-hmm. basically, because without you obeying God, that person would have never came to God. And if it's God's will, he's going to come to God no matter what. But it's just like, your works and your doings for God's kingdom can change millions of people's mm-hmm. aspects on Christianity and God and everything like that. So always, always obey God's will.
Yeah. Somebody at my church was telling this story that the Lord put it on their heart to invite somebody to go to church with them. And it was at a mechanic's shop. And so the person goes up to him, invites him to church, tells him a little bit about Jesus and all. And they said, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to have anything to do with that. You know, y'all are a bunch of hypocrites. And the person spread the word a little bit to him, you know, tried to minister to him, but they just wasn't having it. So so they left, but they did got, you know, God told them to do that. And they had went years not knowing, like, what was the reason for that. Well, it turns out another dude was working on the car, and this person that ministered to him couldn't see him. They didn't even know they were there. But God had been dealing with that person working on the vehicle that was on the ground, and they had finally found the person that ministered to them, and it was years later and said, "Man, I got saved that night because I heard you ministering to so and so." And, you know, so for years that person was thinking it was for the
guy that he was talking to, but it was for the guy under the car the whole time.
Yeah.
That's so, what I mean. You know, God works crazy. Like God does, like God, when God puts it into you to do something, like it is just crazy what God is thinking. Like you're thinking, okay, it's for this person. And next thing you know, like you find out years later, it was for the guy under the car and you didn't even see that guy. Like, and that goes to show you it's God's will. Like that is absolutely God's will to be able to think that and do that and set that in motion. Like,
yeah, it's kind of like we can only see, you know, like this, and then God sees and 360 all around it. Yeah.
Yeah. So and it's that, awesome. That is amazing. Like that's just wild how he works. Like it's just crazy.
Yeah.
It is wild. Like definitely, for sure. Yeah. Like that's amazing. Cause you would have never thought, like, even me, I would like anybody would be like, "Oh, like, all right, God, that guy, you wanted me to talk to him. He just basically smacked me in the face. Like, what was that about?" And then this whole time, like, you had a victory. Like, God had a victory under that car, and you were focusing on the person smacking you in the face, and you couldn't see the person down there that was actually being saved. Like, that's wild.
Yeah, definitely.
That is wild. But we are going to wrap this first episode up. We do have my brother that's going to be coming on from now on too. He was just sick today, so it was just me and Lucas today. But we had a great time talking to you guys. Hopefully we could put a little bit of insight, and we're just going to come up with like little topics to talk about. And then we might even do some Bible studies and go through the Bible. Who knows where this is going to lead? We're just trying to reach people that really isn't being reached, and God wants, like Lucas just said, we don't know who this is intended for. We don't know what this is intended for. God just put it on our hearts to do it, and we're just obeying. We're doing his will. And if you're the mechanic underneath the car that needed to hear this, we're happy for you, and we hope that we can give you some kind of clarification. And if you guys ever need anything, you can reach out on the TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. And we will do prayer requests. Whatever you guys need, we are here to do. Just have a good day. Have a blessed day. And thank you for joining.